A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
BYU aired it out.
Straight back, Romper Jaron looks to his left, looks middle, goes deep middle. He's got Puka Nacua, makes the catch. Stays on his feet, is now dragged down to the 21-yard line of Baylor.
But they couldn't sustain drives, and they couldn't stop the Baylor Bears.
Smith does get in. Stepped through a tackle, shook off a would-be tackler, and gets in for the touchdown that might just seal the deal here in Waco.
This week, the Cougars need to get back in the win column against a reeling Washington State.
Coach Nick Rolovich will not be on the sideline this Saturday. He's been fired, along with four of his assistant coaches.
Today, BYU kicks off against Washington State at 1:30.
And this is KSL's extended pregame coverage
with Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into extended pregame coverage, and great stuff there from Mark Jackson in the KSLSports.com scoreboard studios. Looking forward to another outstanding day of college football, and we'll have the Cougars and the Cougars right here on the legacy home of BYU football, KSL News Radio, tip at 1:30. And Mitch, that's three consecutive 1:30 p.m. kicks for BYU.
It is, and I'm not going to lie, Matt, I'm a little bit worried because I feel like BYU, they're the great night team. We saw a couple years ago Kalani Sitake switched practices from the daytime, which he inherited when Bronco Mendenhall was the head coach. And about two or three years in, he's like, I got to go to nights because these guys, they stay up late. These are young college students. They stay up late, and we gotta practice in the nighttime. So now they practice in the evenings, and we've seen the games that they've played after 7 o'clock or later, 5-0. Day games, 0-2. Look, I'm someone that gets kind of superstitious, and starting to feel like there might be a trend here. Hopefully it can be a change today.
Let's get out to the phone line right now and bring on wide receiver Neil Pau as he joins the program. And Neil, how do you prepare for these day games where you're, you know, as Mitch said, you're 0-2 as these 1:30 kickoffs? How do you prepare and get ready for these day games?
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to speak for myself. It definitely is an adjustment. Trying to wake up, especially when you're an hour ahead from your normal time or you're an hour behind. Your body is just not where it needs to be or where it usually is at the time where it's a later game. So usually have, like, we're done with meetings around 11, 12, and we get to go back to our room and eat lunch and chill when it's a later game. But now that all speeds up, and now we have a game to go to. So it's just having to be more on top of it throughout the week type deal to make sure that your body's ready to go.
What do you think were the biggest causes for the last two losses against Boise State and Baylor?
With Baylor, they could say it was stopping the run. They could have stopped the run, but also from an offensive standpoint, we couldn't convert on third down to stay on the field long enough. And then Boise, I think that was just also a team effort. We got down there to the red zone and had back-to-back penalties that pushed us out of the red zone to get back down. And we're just all out of whack. So we're just, you know, whatever it is, we're trying to find our groove and our niche back. So hopefully we're able to find it this week and show out against Washington State.
What do you think you guys need to do? I know you've touched on third down and red zone, but are there any other things that you think are critical for you guys as an offense to get back to your winning ways against the Cougars in Pullman?
Yeah, I think third down's going to be huge. Just to stay on the field longer. I think looking at our percentages, for our first five games that we won compared to when we played Boise State and Baylor, We weren't as successful on third downs, and third downs are allow you as an offense to stay on the field, get closer to easier field goals, or, you know, punching it in the red zone. So I think that would be huge to convert on those after big plays, and maybe we run the ball and have to convert on third down just to convert.
How would you evaluate the play of the wide receivers through? I know you're a little past the halfway point now, but how do you think you guys have done, maybe, you know, in comparison to what you guys expected to do this year?
I mean, everybody expected it as, you know, one of the deepest wide receivers core, one of the best wide receivers core in BYU history. And for the most part, whenever we've had the ball go up and it's presented to us, I feel like we've been able to come down with it. And we hope that, you know, the rest of the season going on, we're able to get more shots at coming down with the ball towards our way and plays called our way. So we're just going to stay positive. But I think for the most part, we've done exactly what we knew we could do from the beginning of the season.
Do you feel like there's been a moment in the season where there was a sequence, a couple drives where you felt like, hey, if we could do this over and over again, this is what we can be? Because it just seems like, Neil, there's been the glimpses of the explosive offense, and it just hasn't come together for a full 60 minutes.
All of USF, I think that whole game, I think to start off, what was it? Boise State, how we came down and just punched them in the mouth and went up 10-0 off the start. Yep. You get, like you said, we get glimpses and stuff, but, you know, sometimes when we're not rolling, it's, you know, they'll start down, just 3-3 now. So we'll hit a big play, and then we'll just come back with back-to-back-to-back drives of where it's 3-and-out, however it is, whether it's the middle of the field or on our side of the 50 or their side of the 50. So it's been difficult to kind of handle, but, yeah, hopefully we can just continue in the right direction. A
few more moments here with Neil Pau on extended pregame coverage. We get ready for BYU and Washington State. What is your position coach, Fessy Satake and A-Rod, what have they been emphasizing all week long getting ready for this game?
I think it's just to handle our business. They know that we've kind of been, I don't know, for whatever reason, it's not the same mojo, the same vibe that we had our first five games coming out. And that could be from just playing five straight P5 teams and no bye week to the end of the season and our bodies, however it is, or whatever it is. But I think they've just been trying to stress, you know, to get our mojo back. Trust that, you know, we've put in the work, and the teams that we played against haven't, you know, really beat us. We've kind of beat ourselves or whatever, although they've been two good teams. But we've been in both games if we just took care of our business. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that they're trying to amplify or tell us this week.
How fun has it been playing with Gunner and Puka? Because you're second on the team in receptions. But you guys have just been – it's been a blast to watch you guys in the intermediate and deep game. What's it been like from a player perspective – playing with such a deep group, like you mentioned?
Yeah, it's dope. And it's awesome because last year, you know, with Dax, it was me, Gunner, and Dax. It was just fun just to connect on all these different types of things. And it kind of sucks because you expect these P5 schools to go man. And then the way we're able just to get out and get going between me, Gunner, and Puka, they transition the zone, which kind of slows us down a little bit. But it's just awesome just to know, you know, when the ball goes up, most likely, more than not, is going to come down between us three.
All right, that is wide receiver Neil Pau. We'll take another break here on extended pregame coverage. We'll continue talking about this deep and exciting wide receiver group on the other side. It's extended pregame coverage here on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.